الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin, or your instructor. Just to remind you that this program, or this Islamic Studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding the faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, make sure that you have your Quran with you, or some paper, pen, or some way of taking notes, paper, pen, pencil, to be able to take notes, and have your Quran next to you, because sometimes we refer to different verses and chapters in the Quran, so you can turn to that page and follow along with me. And please keep in mind that I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of Islam. Also, I want to say to you, for those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those of you who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to the Islamic Studies class, which is Islamic Faith in Focus. Now, today's topic is going to be on shyness, modesty. Sometimes I use those two words interchangeably. And in Islam, it's called haya. Haya, which is H-A-Y-A-A, which is shyness or modesty. This is very, very important in Islam. And you'll see that as I go along. And so let's start with at the beginning, when you're talking about Adam and Eve being in paradise, and they were forbidden from going to a particular tree. They could get to any tree, any place they wanted in paradise, but just stay away from that tree. Do not go near that tree. And then what happened? They ate from the tree. And so if you turn to chapter 30, verse 1, I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 121. Again, that's chapter 20, verse 121. And what it says is this: then they both ate from it. Their private parts became visible to them, and they began to cover them for themselves with leaves of paradise. Thus Adam disobeyed his Lord, so he went astray. So this is going to, again, this is in chapter 20, verse 1-1, where it says here that Allah told both Adam and Eve, or Hawa, to stay away from this tree, forbidden for you to go in this tree, and then they ate from the tree. Some people think that just that Eve tempted Adam to go to the tree, but they both ate from the tree, and they both were scolded by Allah for eating from the forbidden tree. And then what happened is their private parts were exposed, and they start covering them up with the leaves. So you're talking about haya, you're talking about modesty, you're talking about having shyness. This is just my humble opinion. This is where it first began, with them uncovering themselves or eating from the tree, and then they revealed their private area when they start covering that up because out of shame and modesty and their haya. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 22. Again, chapter 7, verse 22. And so we know, if you don't know this already, that Shaitan or Iblis or the devil was the one that tempted them to go to the tree and eat from it. And so it says in this particular verse, it says, so he misled them through deception. When they tasted the tree, their private parts became visible to them, and they began to cover themselves with the leaves of paradise. Then their Lord called out to both of them, "Didn't I forbid you both from that tree and tell you both that Shaitan is an open enemy to you?" They were forewarned. They were forewarned that, look, Shaitan is an enemy to you, and don't go next to this tree. And Shaitan promised them something and persuaded them to go to the tree and eat from it. And they did so. And then Allah scolded them and said, did I not tell you not to go to that tree? And you went anyway. I also told you that Shaitan or the devil is an open enemy to you, and yet you listen to them. It was elated by one of the Prophet's companions, and he said, whenever lewdness is in anything, it blemishes it. And whenever shyness is in anything, it beautifies it. So we as Muslims, and if you're not Muslim too, same thing. Same thing in terms of what we're supposed to do. We are not to go near lewdness, lewd behavior, lewd dress. And because it blemishes things. It makes things bad. It makes things ugly. But when we talk about shyness and modesty and haya, that beautifies things. And we know for ourselves, a lot of time I was looking on the internet one day and I saw that this guy was, he had, I guess probably a fashion show, but what the women had on, they only had tape. Like when you tape up something or you tape up something that is broken, tape it together. He only had tape that was covering the women up and no more than that. Their private parts. And also they're top of the other women, and that's all they had. I had to get away from that, get off that particular site, and delete it. But that particular presentation of this was supposed to be the fashion, that you put tape on your body, or you see people with see-through clothing. You can see everything. Nothing left for the imagination. You can see everything. Well, it's going to come a time as a Prophet, peace be blessed be upon him, said, going to time where people are going to be, they're going to be dressed, but they're going to be undressed. They're going to say, oh yeah, we have clothing on, but no, they don't have clothing on because how see-through it is and how little it is and those kind of things. And, or like I said, with the tape, I guess they said they were dressed. And then a person who has see-through clothing, I guess they think that they're dressed. They're okay, and leaves absolutely nothing to the imagination. And also the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he said faith has some 70-odd branches, and shyness is a branch of faith. So one of the branches of faith, to have iman, faith, is shyness. This is so important to Islam, and so important to when you're talking about obeying Allah. I'm gonna get into that a little later on. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, "Al hayya'u la yati illa bi khair," and he said, "Modesty produces nothing but good. Only good comes from modesty." When you present yourself in a modest, in a humble manner, in a manner that is, you have shyness to yourself, you had that haya I talked about earlier, it produced nothing but good. Let me tell you some things about haya. Beyond a natural feeling of haya, of course, modesty and being also shyness, there can be an acquired, what we call it, acquired aspect that is directly related to the strength of one's faith. This is the haya that comes about by realizing that Allah is always present and he sees everything that one does. When a person realizes this, he/she will be ashamed to perform any immoral act. This remembrance of Allah is one of the most important means by which one increases his haya or her haya, their modesty or being shy. Another helpful factor is for a person to think about all of the blessings that Allah bestowed upon him or her. If a person thinks about all the blessings that he has received from Allah, he becomes very shy to use the blessings of Allah that Allah given him in ways that is displeasing to Allah. For example, if he really thinks about how great a blessing his eyesight is, he will be ashamed to use this blessing from Allah in ways that is displeasing to Allah. Another way by which one may increase one's hayah is to associate with people of hayah. I'm trying to give you some tips here. One of the ways in which you increase your hayah, your modesty, your shyness, is that you be and associate with people who are about hayah. The people who are about being modest, those are the ones that reinforce for you what you should and should not be doing. And so those are the kind of people you want to hang around with. Look in the mirror right now. Don't go too far from the talk. And are you really pleased with how you dress or how you conduct yourself in public? Are you really pleased with that? How tight your clothes are or how see-through your clothes are? Are you really happy with that? If you're not happy with that and it's not pleasing to Allah, then you need to change. You need to change the clothes that are more pleasing to Allah, that show more modesty, that show more that you're a shy person, show more shyness, show more hayah that you should be showing. It's because you are showing people another side, a side that may be displeasing to Allah by revealing everything underneath revealing your birthday suit to people, revealing your body, your naked body to people, although you think that you are clothed. Let me continue. One can learn from their example and behavior. When you hang around people who have hayah, you can learn from their example and their behavior, or they can learn from your example and from your behavior. More importantly, in their presence, one will be too embarrassed or shy to do anything shameful. That's why you want to hang around people who have hayah, because you're going to be embarrassed to not show hayah and not show shyness or not show modesty around them. Because these are the people of hayah. So those are the ones you want to hang around. The ones that are going to say something to you if you come out and your dress is too tight. And that, or it's too see-through. Let me move on. This feeling of shame and modesty, Allah willing, will develop and grow in the person to the extent that even in the presence of others, he will continue to have that character. No matter who you're around, when you develop this hayah, when you develop this shyness, you develop this modesty, that no matter who you're around, you're going to always have that character because it's developed within you. And greater than that, you want to please Allah. Now, part of the modesty and hayah of a Muslim man and a Muslim woman, both of them, they have to not wear see-through clothing. They can't wear form-fitting clothing. Clothing that is so tight they almost had to squeeze into it to get into it and squeeze to get out of it or get assistance to come out of kind of clothing that they wear. We also, as Muslims, we cannot wear clothing of the opposite sex. I can't not wear the clothing of women, excuse me, and the women cannot wear the clothing of men. That's not that un-Islamic for us to do these kind of things. And also, we can't wear clothing with pictures on it and the like. These are the things that we can't wear. When you see our Muslim women dressed properly, with they have the khimar on or the head covering and the long loose garments and the like, they're doing it for modesty. They're not obeying a man. Some people think that they're obeying a man, but they're not. They're obeying Allah. Allah is the one, I won't go to the ayahs right now or the verses right now, but Allah is the one that tells us to dress like that. And hopefully, inshallah, by the will of Allah, that their modest dress also is internal too. And a lot of times their modest dress, they show what inside of them. They have iman or faith inside of them and obedience to Allah, fear of Allah, and then it shows outside in their dress. Not always. But for the most part, that's what it does. And so people get mad at them and have rules and regulations and laws not telling the women they can't dress like that. They can't have anything on their head, this kind of thing. Where you have people of the faith, it's okay for them to dress like that. And they look just like Muslims, many of them. But for a Muslim, they have laws against the Muslims in some countries. I won't get into that because I'm going to get into political thing right now. They have some people that some countries that will forbid a Muslim woman from dressing like a Muslim woman. If she want to go on a beach and have the burkini on and have a full covered up, sometimes they only want to go on the beach like that. They want her to show more skin. You have to show more skin if you want to go on our beaches. And so let me move on. Also, I want to remind us all, knowing about Allah's sight, hearing, knowledge, and that nothing at all in the heavens and the earth can be kept hidden from him, will cause a person to guard his tongue, limbs, and even fleeing thoughts of his heart from anything which pleases Allah. Because what happens internally will happen outside. That we have this haya inside of us, this modesty inside of us, this shyness inside of us. It is shown in our behavior and in our limbs. It is shown in our sight and what we see, or our tongue, what we say, or the limbs, how we use our various limbs, or the thoughts that are in our hearts to do something that is haram, that is forbidden by Allah Ta'ala. And that we will not do these things. Because we have this modesty inside of us and want to please Allah. Furthermore, all these body parts will only be involved in what Allah loves and is pleased with. Because we have this internal haya, this internal modesty, this internal shyness inside of us, that our body parts will be involved with making sure that we do things that Allah loves and is pleasing to Allah. This will then cause one to develop a deep internal shyness such that he is shy before Allah to do what he has forbidden, because we had this internal shyness. And his knowledge of Allah's richness, generosity, goodness, and mercy will, by necessity, cause him to have hope in him and long for him. Similarly, his knowledge of Allah's his greatness and his glory will cause him to have humility, awe, and adoration for Allah. These are all the things mixed up in the haya that we will have, that you will have, because you worship Allah, because you're obeying Allah, you want to do what's pleasing to Allah. Because one day, people, one day, my students, we are going to be standing before Allah, each and every one of us. And you may not believe that today, but you will see that what Imam Hassan Amin is telling you, true. What I'm telling you is the truth. That one day we will all be standing before Allah and be accountable for what we did and what we said and the time that we spent and what we did and what we saw with our eyes. And our eyes will testify for or against us. What we did with our hands will testify for or against us. What we heard with our ears, it will testify for us or against us. What we did with our feet and our legs and where we went and that kind of thing, it will testify for us or against us. And believe me, you will not have any control, or we will not have any control over it. It's telling Allah what Allah wants to know. It will testify against us. All these body parts we have control over right now, on that day, we will not have any control over the body parts. Allah will have it speak each body part. And tell me what you did, hands. Tell me what you did, saw, eyes. Tell me what you heard, ears. Tell me what you said, mouth. Tell me what you did with legs and feet. So they're going to testify for or against you. Your body. It may say, oh, Allah, this person, they put clothing on me, but it was so see-through. It was too tight. It wasn't anything, any modesty to it. And so it may testify against you. So what do you want your body to say on the day of judgment? It's up to you to prepare your body to meet your Lord. One of the scholars, he said something very beautiful. And he said the following concerning patience and abstaining from wrong actions. That the feeling of haya before Allah can be strengthened through learning more about Allah. Study more. You have your Quran. If you don't have one, get one. You have your Quran and know more about Allah, about Allah's names, Allah's attributes. Learn more about Allah and what Allah wants you to do. and what he does not want you to do. God, for surely we're going to meet him. This right now, by the end of my talk today, you may die. I may die. And the thing is that at that point, you die, and that's it. You go to your grave. I told you last week, last time I spoke to you all last broadcast, I talked about what happens in the grave. So do you want to be the believer in the grave or the disbeliever in the grave? Do you want to be one that your body going to say all good things about you or going to say all bad things about you? Your body just say, yes, he was very humble or she was very humble and very modest and had haya. Or do you want them to say the opposite of that? One of the other scholars, he said, or the same scholar, matter of fact, he said, the following concerning patience and abstaining from wrong actions. And he says this, the feeling of haya before Allah can strengthen through learning more about Allah and knowing more about his names and attributes. Haya is a characteristic of people who are noble, possess good qualities. So the person who refrains from wrong action becomes, because of haya, is better than one who abstains because of fear. Let me explain that a little bit here. Haya indicates that a person is mindful of Allah and his might. The person who deterrent is the fear of Allah, has his thoughts focused on punishment. But the person who is deterrent is haya, has his thoughts focused on Allah himself. And so it says here, basically what the scholars say and what I was taught is that haya is better than the fear. Fear, okay, we should be fearful of Allah, of course so. But the haya is better, because with the fear, we only worried about punishment. But when you're talking about the haya, that we are focused on Allah himself and pleasing Allah. Because this haya is all about the pleasing of Allah and doing the things that displease Allah, no matter what. If you're in public or you're in private, it doesn't matter if you're public or in private. You always want to please Allah, no matter what you do. And let me explain more about the fearful one and the one with the haya. The fearful person's main concern is himself and how to save himself from punishment. Whereas the shy person's main concern is Allah and his glory. Both have attained the status of faith, but the shy person has attained ihsan, meaning a higher standard of faith, in which he conducts himself as if he can see Allah, and so his heart is filled with haya. That's the difference between the two of them. So which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the one that has that haya? Or you want to be the one just had the fear? Like, again, fear is good. But the better thing is to have the haya in your heart. And you conduct yourself as if Allah is there and Allah is watching you, which he is watching you. No matter where you go, you can't hide from Allah. Allah can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he know all that we do and all that we don't do and all that we say. Because we got the two angels writing down what we do, what we say, and what we do. The angel on your right side writing down your good deeds. The angel on your left side writing down your bad deeds. And so I told you this before in previous classes. Let me move on to this. The reason why it is so important for a believer to abstain from wrong action is because he must protect his faith. As wrong action decreases faith or extinguishes it. So we have to be careful and protect ourselves from wrong actions, because it can belittle our faith and take away our faith and decreases our faith, or just get rid of our faith altogether, because we're doing a wrong action, and it only increases. We get this little mark on our heart, little black mark on our heart, and we do something else wrong, we get another black mark on our heart, and we do something else wrong, we get another black mark on our heart, until our heart is rusty, it's all black, no feeling there, no goodness there, no love there. We don't want this kind of thing. We want our heart to be healthy, healthy with iman, healthy with faith, and worship of Allah, worship Allah the way we're supposed to worship Allah. I want to end with this. It's some warnings from our scholars. One scholar he mentioned, he said, do not be a devout servant of Allah in your public behavior while being his enemy in your private affairs. I'm going to read that again. Let this thing sink in. Do not be a devout servant of Allah in your public behavior while being his enemy in your private affairs. I'm going to let you figure out what am I saying there. I'm not even going to explain that. You think about that. I have a very intelligent people here listening to me, students here. You are listening to me and you're learning from me about Islam, what it is and what it is not. I'm going to read this one more time for you and you can write it down or you can listen to the recording later on again. Don't be a devout servant of Allah in public behavior while being his enemy in your private affairs. And another scholar said something similar, but he went a little bit more in depth. He said, if a person's behavior in private is better than his behavior in public, that is true virtuousness. If his behavior in private is equal to his behavior in public, this is justice. If his behavior in public is better than his behavior in private, that is injustice. I know that's a lot to digest. I'm going to read it one more time for you, or you can listen to this podcast one more time, this particular one. And this may change your life. If a person's behavior in private is better than his behavior in public, that is true virtuousness. If a behavior in private is equal to his behavior in public, that is justice. If his behavior in public is better than his behavior in private, that is injustice. For more information about this topic, about Hayya, you can always go to Why Islam to find out more information about Islam. You go to American Open University. They're always looking for new students to learn from them. And also you go to International Online University and they were always looking for students to learn from them. But my students, before I go, I want to emphasize to you, please, if you look in the mirror and you saw all your skin, that means that you saw your skin and you have clothing on. Everyone else can see your skin. Do you want that all the time? Are this pleasing to Allah? Is this haya there? Is this modesty there? Is this shyness there? Are you just trying to do fashion? Everyone else, this is what everyone else is wearing. That doesn't mean that everyone else is right because everyone else is wearing it. That does not mean that at all because everyone's doing it. It does not mean that everyone is doing it that they're right and that you're out there exposing yourself to the public or your clothing is too tight or too see-through. You have to answer that, as I mentioned before. You should work more towards haya, modesty, shyness, than working towards showing more and more and more of yourself. You're a beautiful person. This is the way Allah made you. Don't think that you're ugly or you put these clothes all of a sudden you're going to have all this beauty just kind of go over you like a warm breeze. That doesn't mean that at all. It means you have to look at Allah made you. You'd be proud of what Allah made you. He gave you a certain skin color. All right. You can't change that. He made you look the way you look. All right. Then that's it. That's the best from Allah. You could be worse than what you are right now. What you think, you're ugly or have some different blemishes. It could be worse than that. Allahu alam. Allah knows best. But the thing is, my beautiful students, is that you have an opportunity for Allah to take your soul to have this haya. To have this modesty, to have this shyness. It's not too late, as long as you have breath in your body. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.